Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great state council. Again.
Let's check in with Michigan Radio's senior news analyst, Jack Lessenberry, to get an update on what's going on in state politics. Well, Jack, the Flint Water Task Force released its final report yesterday. What stuck out to you?
Well, this is a very devastating report from the standpoint of the governor. He appointed this task force, and the task force squarely fixes the blame on the state and primarily on the governor's appointees. The MDEQ comes in for the harshest treatment, also the emergency managers. I'm going to talk more about this at 1:30 today, but the governor has been pushing the narrative in his administration that all levels of government were to blame, trying to push a lot of blame onto the federal EPA. The task force is having none of that. It says the EPA may have been too slow to respond, but primarily this is the governor's burden. It was his emergency managers who made the decision to switch to the Flint River and refused to listen to anybody about switching it back. Darnell Early, who later went on to become the emergency manager of the Detroit Public Schools, is sort of specifically singled out as refusing to listen to even Snyder administration pleas that the water should be switched back, although it was actually Ed Kurtz, the second manager, who made the decision to go to Flint River. It is an utterly devastating report from the standpoint of the governor, and this may well sort of change the focus of some of the investigations. We're not clear.
I was going to say, what happens now that this report is released and more blame has been dealt?
Well, I think it becomes increasingly harder to try to blame the federal government. Of course, Republicans would like to do that. President Obama's a Democrat. Republicans run everything in Michigan. But this task force, which was co-chaired by Ken Sikkema, the former Senate Majority Leader, a Republican conservative, one of the most respected men in Lansing, the report says very flatly, if I can quote from it, MDEQ caused this crisis to happen. And it says when they were called out on it, they responded with a degree of intransigence and belligerence that has no place in government. It's going to be very hard, harder than it has been for the Snyder administration to sort of try to deflect the blame, and we'll see where the investigations go from there. One thought that occurred to me was that, you know, the governor is having the taxpayers pay $800,000 for his criminal defense, another $400,000 for civil. I would think Darnell Early and Dan Wyatt, the now fired head of the MDEQ, might want to be looking for some lawyers themselves.
The state Senate has adopted a bailout plan for Detroit Public Schools. Tell us what this bill will and will not do.
Well, it won't do anything unless the House passes it. This is essentially the governor's plan, and I must say I think it was a good and sensible plan. It would split the schools into two. It's kind of modeled in a way after the General Motors bankruptcy. The old Detroit public schools would no longer have anything to do with educating the kids. They would pay down the debt. It would come up with $715 million, $300 million in a lump sum, much of the rest from tobacco settlement money over a decade. This new money to allow a new entity to educate the students, also would have oversight over charter schools to some extent in Detroit, could say where they could start and open a new school. And there would be more money, more than $1,000 per kid, to educate these students. Most people who've looked at it think it is far superior to what we have now, but the House of Representatives is balking at this. They're not going to take it up till after they come back from a break. They seem more interested in punishing teachers' unions, and in all probability what will happen is the Senate will pass something the House has already passed, a sort of a nearly $50 million stopgap spending bill to get the Detroit Public Schools through the end of the year. If they don't get some new money, they'll have no cash whatsoever to pay anybody after about April the 8th. So they're really sort of playing a game of chicken here, but it'll be very intriguing to see if in this election year Republicans in the House are willing to pass this plan.
So if they do pass this, what do you think this timeline will look like for this bigger bailout plan? When would we start to see drastic changes in the district?
Well, Rome wasn't built in a day, and you can't educate a kid in 5 minutes. So you would certainly see an influx of money into the schools relatively quickly. You'd have a new governance structure. So within a year or two, you might well start to see some difference in test results, but it's going to be some time before the full potential of this takes effect. And the whole purpose, the long-term purpose, is to stop the drain of kids out of the Detroit public schools, because if Detroit is going to work as a city, it has to have a public school system that people will put their kids into. It doesn't have that now.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's senior news analyst. You're listening to Morning Edition on Michigan Radio. Good morning. I'm Emily Fox.